the sister said at the crowds, man, I've preached revivals to 5, 6, and 7 people and had tremendous moves of God. It's never mattered to the Lord how many, whether there be many or few, but it's the mindset of the people that are there. We prayed them through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost with 7 of us in the church. So whatever the Lord wants to do, we want to be a part of. Amen. Judges, the book of Judges, chapter 14. Read 2 verses of Scripture, verses 5 and 6. Glad for those that are here tonight. Glad to have Reed and Allie. Sam, there, Big Sam. He attends the house of prayer with us. And Papa, Brother Floyd Parks. He's one of those, Brother Pepper. Having to miss too much church, just don't fly. So he was ready to come to church tonight. Amen. Myself and Brother Reed, we're a little tired. We, since Sunday night, have pushed snow in Tulsa for 115 hours. Just trying to clear things up. But just looking for the Lord to refresh and revive. We're excited about it. I want to draw out a positive truth from the life of Samson. Oftentimes we cast a lot of shade at Samson for his mistakes, and he had many of them. But there were some things that Samson did right. And so I want to draw a truth from this setting of Scripture here to preach to you tonight in Judges chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. Then went Samson down. Now, a lot of preachers have preached that right there, about Samson going down. Sin is always down. And his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Samson goes down to Timnath. A young lion roars against him. But notice, the pivotal point in this is the fact that the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, mightily upon him. And Samson tears this lion in half. That's hard to wrap your mind around, isn't it? That an individual could do that. But that just goes to show us that when a man steps out of the natural into the spiritual, what God is able to do. But the thing that I want to draw your attention to here tonight is these words, and he had nothing in his hand. Nothing in his hand. I want to preach to you tonight on the power of empty hands. The power of empty hands. The Lord bless his word. You may be seated. Man, I remember I've used this little story several times throughout the years. I remember when I was a young boy, I was had a little project going on outside, and I was fixing it. And I've always been, I guess some might would say, the stubborn type, or if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it myself, and I'm probably not going to ask for help. And that started early on. So I got this project going on outside. My dad knows what I'm doing, and he sees me come in to get a tool. And I go in and I grab this tool, and as I'm walking back out of the house, I see my dad look at me, Brother Pepper, with a smirk on his face. And I carry on and I go out, and when I get out there, I realize that the tool is not going to work for the project that I had, and I'm walking back in. And I look at my dad and I said, you knew this tool wouldn't work, and that's why you were smiling at me. But he knew I was too stubborn to ask for his help, and so he just let me go on about my way. But there's a lesson to learn in that, and that my father knew exactly what I would need to accomplish the task at hand, but I neglected to ask him. Amen. Our Heavenly Father knows tonight exactly what we need in this hour that we're living in. He knows what it's going to take to win this war. He knows what it's going to take to overcome our adversary. So what the Lord is looking for in these last days is a church that will come to Him with empty hands and say, Lord, we've tried everything we can think to do to win, and it has profited us nothing. But here we are, empty-handed. Now we're asking You to come mightily upon us. How many of you would agree with me that in 2021 we need the Spirit of the Lord to come mightily upon the church again? Praise God. Amen. I know that we're believing. Amen. How many of you believe in an end-time revival? If you don't believe in that, you don't believe in the Bible. Praise the Lord. I believe. I know that there is a great falling away, but I don't want to spend all of my time focusing on the great falling away. As much as I want to focus on Joel's prophecy, wherein he said, in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out of My Spirit upon all flesh. Now, it may not come as it has in days gone by. We may not have another Azusa Street revival, or we may not have another Topeka, Kansas outpouring, or there may not be a revival like there was in the Welsh Islands. But I do believe that God will visit us again, and God is visiting us again. Hallelujah. But if the church is going to have this revival, sister, it must be that we come to the Lord with empty hands. Amen. And willing hearts, and say, Lord, whatever You want to do. Amen. God, I just want to be a part of Your move. Amen. Hudson Taylor said this: many Christians estimate, will you give me just a few minutes tonight? Estimate difficulties in the light of their own resources, and thus attempt little and often fail in the little that they attempt. All of God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on His power and on His presence and not that of their own. Praise the Lord. Amen. If we are going to experience God, amen, if we're going to encounter these lions in the hour that we're living in and be able to overcome them, it must be that the Spirit of the Lord comes mightily upon us. Praise the Lord. Amen. I understand that my children are to have or need to have the power of the Spirit of God upon them if they are to overcome in these last days. Praise the Lord. I was so thrilled, Brother Pepper, when in Mississippi, when Ryland prayed through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and she spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave her the utterance. And just a couple weeks ago, we attended the revival at Brother Ben Brock's church, where Owen was that close to praying through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he came up to me after church and he said, Daddy, was I close? And I said, Bub, you are so close. Amen. You know what I'm realizing in my children? That they are seeing something in the generation before them. That there is a longing inside of their hearts to have the Spirit of the Lord to come mightily upon them. I come to preach to you here tonight that we've got to come to God at the onset of this revival, saying, Lord, I've got nothing in my hands. I don't have a weapon to use. I don't have a tool to use. But what I do need is for the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, to rest mightily upon me. How many of you here tonight want God's Spirit to rest upon you? Hallelujah. Amen. Are you ready to have revival? I text some brethren from the church tonight at the house of prayer, and I said, brothers, pray for us. We're headed to Chelsea to begin a series of services, and I'm just praying that God will somewhere in the middle of it break in revival. See, we cannot have revival, amen, unless God breaks in upon us. Amen. Are you hearing me tonight? I said we cannot have revival unless the Spirit of the Lord breaks in mightily upon us. I've been a part of some revivals. I've preached some revivals. Amen. I remember growing up as a young boy being a part of some meetings
where it was fabricated by man, and it was pushed by man, and it was promoted by man. Oh, I wish I could preach to you here tonight. Amen. And we had it so scheduled, and it was so formal. Amen. And it was so by the book that Brother Jason, God had no room anywhere to pour out His Spirit upon us. I remember getting invited to preach at a church in Newport News, Virginia. While we were still living there, they approached us about pastoring the church, and then they invited us to preach. And I think they realized real quick that they did not want us to pastor the church. And we went there to preach, Brother Pepper, and we were the first visiting. I got to hurry tonight, but we were the first visiting preacher in 15 years at that church. They were Pentecostal. I'm telling you, that pastor was a fireball preacher. He's in his early 80s, I believe, but just as, I mean, he acted young and spry, and he was a fireball. But he did not like things to get carried away. And he had us come, and we came, and I'm telling you, that Sunday morning there was a pulpit a little bit wider than this one, about 100 years old, and he had me, one of the worst things you can do to me is give me one of those microphones that pin on the tie, because I don't know what to do with my hands. And so, Brother Pepper, I got carried away while I was preaching, and I got to pounding on that pulpit, and this top shelf just dropped straight down, and there I am, the first visiting minister in 15 years, and I've done shattered the pulpit, but somehow they asked us to come back that night, and I felt so compelled to preach on the Holy Ghost. But in the back of my mind, I can hear that older pastor saying, we don't want you to play. He specifically asked us not to play anything fast, not to play any songs about the Holy Ghost that would cause people to respond in a Pentecostal way. But I just felt so compelled, and I preached that night on the Holy Ghost. And Brother Pepper, about 20 minutes into that message, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon us in that house. And I'm telling you, about 20 of His people went to shouting and dancing and running around the church. You know what it takes to have a move of God? It takes some people that'll come to the Lord and say, Lord, I've got nothing in my hand. I don't have a program. I don't have a format. Amen. I don't have a fancy message. I don't have 3 points in a poem. But I've got empty hands and a willing heart. And I'm ready to have revival. Ready to have a move of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, church, there's power in your empty hands. Yeah. Oh, I got to preach to you. There are twin truths to learn from this scripture. Samson's got nothing in his hand, and because of that, the Spirit of the Lord is able to empower those hands. Hallelujah, yeah. Amen. Wouldn't it be something, Reed, if we could build a barn without tools? Amen. Yeah. Sometimes that's what Jason does, I guess. He builds barns without tools, don't he? Amen. Because we do it all for Him. Amen. I don't know what that feels like. I try that every now and then. Amen. But wouldn't it be something if we could? If we could just walk up to that piece of ground and with empty hands look at it, and all of a sudden there be something. Hallelujah. Amen. If that's how it goes, I'd like to get anointed to build a barn every once in a while and not have to touch the thing. I know that's not how it works. Amen. But I'm telling you, there is a truth when it comes to spiritual warfare. Amen. You may not face a physical lion, but you have an adversary tonight that walketh about, help me, Holy Ghost, as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And if you're going to overcome him, if you're going to defeat him, you better lay whatever you got in your hands down and say, Lord, here I am. Fill me. Fill me up. Give me the power to overcome. Man, I want to be an overcomer. Amen. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I hope You don't want to cancel this meeting after the first night. Amen. We live in a church world today that's full of different tools. Structure, okay? I'm not. I was raised in the Marietta Church of God under Brother Bill Wooten in Jacksonville, Florida. And man, we had it on the church bulletin board for a month in advance of who was going to be singing what service. I'm not opposed to that. Don't think that Brother Michael is coming in here to bust on. I believe in that stuff. Amen. I think we need more of it in our independent holiness churches. Amen. Man, that's probably live. It ain't going to help me nowhere, but we need some of that. Amen. But it's one thing to have structure. Amen. We've got a lot of tools in our churches that are supposed to guarantee us success, prosperity, and victory. But Brother Pepper, there's a lot of churches that are absent of all three of them because they've got the structure, they've got the lighting, they've got the musicians, they've got the instruments, they've got the facilities, but they are absent of the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost. Paul would write to the church at Corinth, and he would say, I will come to you shortly. And when I come not to know the speech of them that are puffed up, but the power. Amen. We need power. I said we need power in the house of God. Hallelujah. Man, come to the house of the Lord. I like how Brother Lucas phrased it to me tonight. He said, man, I hope I'm not boring you. Man, I'm trying to get through this here. Amen. He said, you want to go ahead and give me your scriptures for the night? Give me your title? I said, man, my wife will ask for my titles. I don't even tell her. I can't say that stuff. The devil might hear me. I don't want him to know. But then he said, man, if you'll give me that, he said, if it gets that far. Hey. We're going to try to have some structure here. Amen. But if the Spirit of the Lord, oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes. If the Spirit of the Lord wants to move mightily upon us, amen. There's nothing wrong with this on this wall. There's nothing wrong with that on that wall. There's nothing wrong with that phone pointed up at me. But Brother Pepper, if the Spirit of the Lord, amen, yeah, we've got some tools that we use in 2021 that help us reach some people. Amen, but I'm telling you, if we don't have spirit and we don't have power behind our tools, we're missing it. I say, God, break in among us. Let your spirit move on us. Fill our hands. Fill our hearts with your power. Hallelujah. Won't you raise your hands right now and ask the Lord to give you power. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm grateful. I must hurry. I'm grateful for our conferences. We need our seminars for married couples, for young people. We need those things. But I wonder sometimes if we don't have too much in our hands. Oh, come on, don't jump off the train tonight. But I wonder sometimes if we come to the Lord, Sister Pepper, and we say, God, look at all of these things we've put together. Amen. Hallelujah. But can I say something to you tonight? That might sound a little far-fetched, but if Samson had a sword in his hand that day and had trusted only in that sword, Samson would have got torn from here to there by that lion. If Samson had a club in his hand and trusted only in that club, Samson would have been here and halfway there to Timnath, because that lion would have destroyed him. Oh, so I find it very fitting. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I said, I find it very fitting that as Samson was making this journey, he had nothing in his hands. He did not have the jawbone of an ass. He did not have a fire in his hand. Amen. To light anything. Oh, no, he did not. He did not have a sword. He did not have a sling. He had empty hands. And you know what the Lord said? He said, I can work with empty hands. I can work with empty hands. Amen. I'm telling you here tonight, at the beginning of this revival, you need to rid yourself of any tool, any weapon that you think might bring about revival in your life. I hope this ain't
wrong preaching tonight.
God, this is it. Sister Lindsay can sing. My wife talks about her singing all the time. She can sing. But what makes the difference is when the Spirit of the Lord moves on her. She leads you into worship. The song leader cannot lead into worship. Oh, hallelujah. And if the Spirit of the Lord does not come upon you. Man, I wish I could preach like I feel right now, Sister Pepper. Amen. I've been ready for church. Even if you are having to hear me preach, I've been ready for church. Amen. No, it's two of my children didn't even come tonight. Amen. Don't matter if Dad's preaching or not. Amen. They're not here with me. Oh, man, but I've been trying to get my heart ready, Sister Lindsay. Lord, take anything out of my hand. I've tried to overcome sin with things in my hands, and I fell flat on my face. Amen. I've tried to overcome the enemy with my own tools and my own weapons. But, Papa, I fell short. But when I relinquish it all to the sovereignty of God and the providence of my Creator, and I lay it all down at His feet, God says, hey, he looks empty. I can work with him. She looks empty. I can work with her. God, we need revival. Well, empty yourself. I said, empty yourself. And God, I said, God will give us revival when we empty ourselves. Laying it all down at his feet. Here's my program. Here's my theory. The pastor says, God, Brother Pepper's got a way that he conducts the service. But I've been here when Brother Pepper changed the order of the service because the Holy Ghost was speaking. Now I feel the Lord here tonight. I woke up with this on my mind to come preach to you here. I don't care if it's full or what we got tonight. I got to deliver this burden to you. There's power, young men, in your empty hands. Hallelujah. Amen. Sit on that box and play that thing with empty hands and let the Spirit of the Lord feel them. Hallelujah. Amen, sister. When you sit down at the piano, empty your hands and say, Lord, anoint me. Amen. We're going to overcome. We got to win this fight. We've got some folks that are out there. We got to get them in. How do we do it? Church, you got to empty your hands. The old hymnist would say, nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling. I don't have anything. I gotta hurry. I gotta hurry. I don't have anything. Amen. When you have nothing, you've got everything. My old pastor would say, I don't know that some of you are picking up what I'm putting down right now. Amen. When you have nothing in your hands, you have everything in your hands. Hallelujah. Amen. I said, when you've got nothing in your hands, you've got everything in your hands. Brother Tim Hudson would say right now, my God, I wish you felt like I feel when I feel like I feel right now. Amen. I'm ready to have revival. I don't want to wait till tomorrow night to get my hands empty. I don't want to wait till Sunday morning for the pastor to get up and try to pry it out of my hand. But on a cold Thursday night in Chelsea, Oklahoma, I'm going to say, Lord, here it is. Here it is, God. Get it out of my hand. I lay it down. Fill me. Fill me. Fill me with your spirit. Amen. Feel these hands. Ordinary men separated unto the Lord have always been a riddle to this world. Can't figure them out. Can't figure them out. How you put John on the island of Patmos. John turns Patmos into a prayer closet. So John says, oh God, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Amen. Oh yeah, I wore my wood bottom shoes. They get slick. But man, I'll run. We'll jump. We'll shout. Whatever. Amen. Oh yeah. John, we're going to put him out there on Patmos. Everybody gets depressed on Patmos. Everybody dies on Patmos. But John said, listen, I'm going to turn Patmos into a prayer closet. And John would go on to say to us in his revelation of Jesus Christ, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. You know what? Hallelujah. If John had not been ripped of everything and put on an island by himself, we might not have had the revelation of Jesus Christ. But the Father looks down at an empty-handed John and he says, you know what? I can reveal something to him. Oh yes, every prophet that had a revelation was empty-handed when God spoke to him. Seven, it ain't gonna be as late as 7:30. We ain't got nowhere to go eat anyway. We live in Chelsea. I lived here for 5 years. All right, Pastor. I come to church tonight and I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to lift my hands to Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Man, Pastor, I'm ready to. Man, you sing that old song we used to sing back in Church of God? What was it? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let all God's people praise the Lord. Shake off those heavy bands. Lift up those holy hands. Some of you got too much stuff in your hands. Sister Lindsay hits that note. Lift up those holy hands. Brother Jason does a lick on the bass that all of us trying to figure out. Amen. Brother Lucas does a fancy roll on the drums. Amen. Let all God's people. But you got too much stuff in your hands. And then even when you try to get rid of some of it, you pick it back up. Amen. Because destroying this one box, sister, I'll get you another one. Amen. Oh, but Brother Pepper, we get comfortable with our stuff. Amen. Amen. This worked before. Amen. This worked before. I overcame one time with this right here. And I, amen. Amen. Oh yeah. Yeah, they may tell you seven steps to a better you ain't nothing but a bunch of stuff in your hands. Amen. Seven steps to a better you ain't gonna get you revival. Amen. Joel Osteen's book, Your Best Life Now. Dr. Rick Warren. Amen. I'm sorry. I hope I ain't messing with none of you here tonight. Amen. But all that does, Pastor, is it puts power back in your hands. Amen. I said it puts power, amen, back in your hands. That's what the secular church world is doing tonight. They're putting power back in your hands, saying you can do it. And the pastor saying, shake off those heavy bands. Lift up those holy hands. Yeah, I can't do that. Lift up those holy hands. Amen. There's a line out in front of some of you. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. I said, there's a line out in front of some of you, and you're looking at him, and you're looking at him. Amen. You're going, oh my, what am I going to do? Well, I got this, and I got this, and I got that. Amen. Maybe I can sing this song, or maybe I can preach this message, because sometimes the preacher thinks he can preach his way out of something. Amen. Our ability to preach, amen, ain't always going to bring us through something. Amen. Somebody in this house tonight, you got to get that stuff out of your hands. Amen. Lift up those holy hands. I said, lift up those holy hands. You know what you need to do? You need to say, all right, Lord, here it is. God, I rid myself of everything. My ability, my talent, my hope, my dream. I give it all at the feet of Jesus. I empty my hands that the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I'll clean it up. But I do. I feel like there's some folks in this house. They're coming to God like this. There's a line. David. There's a lion and it kills a bear, because David was anointed of the Holy Ghost to do so. David goes to face Goliath. Man, I've got so many more notes here, but we'll throw them out the door too. David, I'll fight him. Saul says, come here, David. Let me give you this. Put your breastplate on. Put your helmet on. Put your, maybe them old shin guards looking things on. And there is David, somewhere around 15 years old, a ruddy, the Bible says, ruddy little guy. David's probably standing there like that. It's all. I can't do that. It's too much stuff. Too much stuff. He gives it all back. And David goes down to the brook and he picks up five smooth stones. Because David was led even of the Spirit in that moment. Because there would be four other giants that David would need to slay. There would be more giants that David would need to kill. And he picks up this smooth stone. And you know what happens? You know what the difference in David's brothers and David? The Bible said of David, number one, he was anointed. When Samuel called, he said, is there anybody? I hope I'm not preaching too slow. I try to be one of them real loud, fast, kicking evangelists, man. You know, those are the ones that bring revival. Man, but you got anybody else out there?
I got one. He's watching over the sheep. Bring him. And Samuel sees him walking. He says, That's him. And Samuel anoints him. And Brother Pepper, the Bible said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David, and it rested upon him. Hallelujah. How does David kill a lion? Because the Spirit is resting on him. How does David kill a bear? Are you getting what I'm saying yet? Because the Spirit is resting upon him. How does David? Amen. The Bible said of David that when he came to the front line, he hastened and he ran to meet Goliath. Amen. And David shouts out. He slings. He said, you come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of God, Lord God of Israel. And he flings that thing, and I'm telling you, I believe the hand of God latched a hold of that stone and flew it right dead center in the middle of Goliath's forehead. I'll tell you what the difference in a ruddy David and a Saul that stood head and shoulders above everybody else, it was the fact that the Spirit of the Lord had come upon him. I'm telling you, get it out of your hands and let the Spirit move on you.
Stand with me. I'm wrapping it up. I want my wife to come. I hope this preaching's all right. If there's to be power to cope with lions, that power's got to come from somewhere else. It's got to come from someone else, somewhere else. Paul would tell us in 2 Corinthians 10, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You have tried with something in your hand. You've said, you know what? You know, I'll tell you something about myself. I'm a thinker. I am. I'm a thinker. My guys will come up to me, Reed's one of the worst. I don't say worse than bad, but he worries about me. They'll come up to me, Mike, are you okay? You're not talking about me. Something wrong? You all right, man? You okay? You all right? Yeah. Just thinking. I think about stuff. But Brother Pepper, it has been a detriment to me at times spiritually. Because I have come upon some things in my life and I have just tried to think my way through them. I'm a man, right? You figure stuff out. It's what we're supposed to do. But sometimes my thoughts are just something in my hand. I hope I'm helping somebody tonight. And I say, here it is, God. Here's my ability. You gave me the ability to think things through. So here it is. I'm going to think my way through this trial. And it never works. But when I say, Lord, here are my thoughts, and I lay them down. Now, Lord, here's my hands. God says, okay, now I can feel. Now I can speak. Now I can deliver. Now I can set free. Come on, man. You talk about looking crazy. Gideon is going to battle with a lamp, a pitcher, and a trumpet. And here they are up on this hillside surrounding an army of fighters all down in the valley there.
And I'm sure there may have been somebody, maybe, I don't know, thinking, Lord Gideon, you have lost your mind. We've got lamps, we've got pitchers, and we have trumpets. And Gideon takes those things, and he holds his lamp and his pitcher, and he says, okay, here's what we're going to do. At the certain time, we're going to blow the trumpets. We're going to bash the pitchers. We're going to wave the lamps. And somebody's going, Gideon, what are you talking about? Man, these guys, these are pretty bad dudes down here. Hey, man, yeah, these Midianites ain't no joke. But here's what Gideon does. He grabs the pitcher and the lamp and the trumpet. And Gideon says, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. He did not say the sword of Gideon and of the Lord. He said, no, I don't have a sword in my hand, but he has a sword in his. And we're going to go to battle. We're going to bash our pitchers. And we're going to throw our lamps. And we're going to shout out loud, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And you know what happened? Those Midianites got up in such disarray that every one of them killed each other in the camp. And Gideon never had to lift a finger in the valley. What are you saying, Brother Michael? I'm telling somebody, you're standing on a hillside with some stuff in your hands, and there's an enemy you're looking over. And I'm telling you, if you do it the wrong way, he's going to whoop you. And you've come here tonight and you've been saying, the ability of Michael and the help of the Lord. The thought process of Jason Pepper and maybe the help of the Lord. The preaching ability of Pastor Pepper and maybe a little bit of the anointing of the Lord. No. Come on, change your prayer. The sword of the Lord. And then Gideon. Hallelujah. I feel the Lord here tonight. I'm done. Zerubbabel would say, it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. How many of you ever heard of Napoleon Bonaparte, the great world conqueror? He would say there are two truths in life. There is the power of the sword and the power of the spirit. Now, mind you, Napoleon conquered by force. One of the greatest conquerors in the history of the world. He said there are two truths, the power of the sword and the power of the spirit. And then he would say, but undeniably and inevitably, in the end, the power of the spirit always wins. One of the greatest conquerors in the world had enough about himself to say, I conquer by sword, but the power of the Spirit always wins. Come on to this altar tonight. Lay your sword down. Lay whatever's in your hand down. And you say, Lord, here it is. I'm putting it down at your feet. How am I going to defeat this lion? You're going to do it with empty hands. You've been asking God to help you with some stuff.
Touch my heart, Lord, speak to me.
And you've been trying to overcome that stuff on your own. But the Spirit of the Lord would say to you tonight, if you'll just lay it down. Let me feel those hands. Hallelujah.
Lord, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Yes, hallelujah.
Oh, take.